turn to your neighbor and tell them this morning, it's not over. God's got a plan for you. Your season's coming. Your blessing is on the way. God has plans for you. They're rich and they're full, and He's not finished with you yet. I feel Him in this house today. I know people want you to tone it down, calm it down. Don't speak in tongues online. I'm telling you, the power of God is still real to those who will believe and receive Him. I want to say something before they go down and before we go to the scripture. Your ability to eliminate distance between you and God, but not only between you and God, but between you and others, has everything to do with your depth and your reach in Jesus Christ. Your ability to eliminate distance between you and others, and most of all between you and God, has everything to do with your depth and your reach in Jesus Christ. Jesus has been set up again and again. And He tells us this. He makes this statement. There's some things that are spoken correctly by the Pharisees and the temple priests, those who are challenging Him. And he said, you have hidden these things, speaking of His Father, you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and you have revealed them to little children. Today, if you need something from His hand, He is here to provide for you. You may be incredibly wise. You may be the elite of the elites in educational realms. That's wonderful. I believe in it. I love to read. I love to search. I love to dig. But maybe you just walked in here this morning. You're fighting cancer. You're fighting the battle of your life. You're fighting through hell on earth. And you would say, Pastor, I just need God to somehow separate this distance I feel between myself and Him. And if I can just feel something, if I can just know that I've heard His voice, if He can just eliminate that tension and that distance between myself and Him, I can leave here with peace. God has that for you today. Do you believe that? Turn to your neighbor and just tell him it's time for you to stop. Time for you to stop. You might want to turn to someone other than your wife or other than your husband. And just, it is time for you to stop. Go to the book of Luke, chapter 10. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, choir, instrumentalist. Bless you this morning. Thank you for leading us in, taking us to the throne. Luke, chapter 10, verse 30, a very familiar story. You've heard of the Good Samaritan since you were a child. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among what? Thieves, robbers. And they stripped him of his clothing. They beat him, they wounded him, they hurt him. And they left him there, leaving him, say it with me, half dead, half dead. Then Jesus answered and said, well, go to the next one, you got it. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road by chance. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Didn't pour into him. He just passed by on the other side. Say that word likewise. Likewise. A Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked. And likewise, he passed by on the other side. Next one. But a certain Samaritan, a sworn enemy, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. God, I pray that you'll anoint your word today, that somehow we'll connect the dots that we'll move forward in you, that we'll eliminate the distance that separates us so greatly, so many times, and that, God, you would pull us close to you and pull us close to one another as your body, your bride, your people. That is the heartbeat of this pastor, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The San Francisco Exploratorium has a mission. It is to ignite curiosity, to change the way the world learns. This exploratorium conducted a secret test. Two groups of random guests were asked two questions. Is the height of the highest California redwood more or less than 1,200 feet? To the other group, the same question was asked. The dimensions were changed. Is the highest redwood more or less than 180 feet? And now, after the fact, we want you to guess what you believe to be the highest redwood, the highest height of the highest redwood. 1,200 feet and 180 feet were described or called anchors. Those anchors in life greatly affect how you answer and respond to the questions and how they are answered. Do you believe in Jesus? I respond this way. I don't believe in Jesus. I respond that way. Those with the anchor of 1,200 feet guessed an average height of 844 feet. Those with a lower anchor of 180 guessed an average of 282 feet. That is a 563 feet difference in expectation. Did you hear me? It is a 563 feet difference in expectation. Psychologists call this the anchoring effect. The anchoring effect. Simply put, we tend to rely way too heavily on our first impression, our first impulse. Once we anchor to something, it becomes the baseline for decisions that we will make. So retailers want you to pay $100, so they put $150 on the price tag, and then they put it on sale, getting what it is they wanted to begin with. That's called being anchored. Satan used an anchoring technique to fixate Adam and Eve on forbidden fruit. They were free to eat from every other tree, but surely this tree will not hurt you. And so now their focus is on what they think they cannot have, what they think is being withheld. The implications of anchoring are profound in our lives. If the battle is won or lost in the mind, then where you drop your anchor will dictate the outcome of your situation. And oh, by the way, redwoods are the tallest tree species on the planet. They measure 360 feet in height, but 22 feet in girth. Their root system goes down some 20 feet with a 100-foot reach radius. Not only that, get this, they can live to be 2,000 years old. The greater the depth and reach, the longer the life. It is that some have decided to anchor to what they think is the deal of a lifetime. Anchored to deception, anchored to tradition, tied down to past hurts, tied down to broken homes, weighed down with a broken marriage, weighed down by the way it's always been done before, fixated on what failed, first and long-term impressions, fixated on people who failed you, fixated on the wrong tree. Someone sold you a bill of goods, so you bought it hook, line, and sinker. You're fixated on what you've always been because you thought it was all that you could ever be. But it is my duty this morning to tell you that a tree was planted on a hill called Calvary 2,000 years ago. And like the California redwood, Jesus is still alive today. His roots are still reaching down. His reach is beyond human measure. His reach is greater than all the powers of hell. He is the Son of the living God, and he has you in the palm of his hand. Somebody clap your hands unto the heavens and praise him in his house today. As a matter of fact, his reach and his radius is so great that the word says that neither height nor depth can separate us from the love of God. In Jesus Christ, Brother Jim, I have the deal of a lifetime. If you're going to anchor to anything this morning, this is what you need to anchor to. He's never made me pay a price that he's not already paid. That tree was for me, and that tree has never been the wrong tree. As a matter of fact, he deceived. There was deception in the air with Adam and Eve, but I'll tell you today, the one tree that Satan cannot touch, that is this tree of all trees, the Son of the living God, Christ the Messiah, the Almighty Son of the living God. Tell your neighbor, if you're going to anchor to anything, anchor to that. Yeah. And I found out a long time ago, he's not limited to rich, and he's not limited to poor. He's not limited to black, and he's not limited to white. I said his roots can reach beyond it all. He's not limited to Jew, and he's not limited to Gentile. He's not limited to Samaritans or anyone else. He never limited himself to any one side of the street. And just like that Samaritan, he crossed over for me, and he crossed over for you. And it's time for you to stop limiting yourself to what everybody else says you have to be. Amen? Whew. No matter of fact, Hebrews 6:19 said, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the veil. You remember in the Old Testament covenant that the sins of man were represented by the priest. Pomegranates, bells were tied to his feet. And if he went in with a sinful heart, he would die in the Holy of Holies. They had a rope tied to his ankle in order to pull him out. But when Jesus came as the perfect, sinless high priest, he went behind the veil forever. As a matter of fact, the word says that when he was crucified on the cross of Calvary, that the veil in the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. The veil came down because the sinless Lamb of a great and mighty God had paid the price for all sin for all of eternity. I feel him in this house today. I feel like Walter Atkinson 25 years ago. I feel him. Amen. God is good. Would you lift your hand and just praise him one time, because he went behind the veil and he went sinless behind the veil. Ooh, that's my anchor, Miss Sarah. My anchor today is the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. My anchor says, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Cody, that's my anchor. This is my anchor. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation. He is my strong tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. If you're going to anchor to anything, anchor to the promises that are forever entrenched in the word of the Almighty God. Talking to some folks today, you've settled. But roots like this word, roots like these scriptures will stretch across the street. Roots like this will stretch to the beat up and the broken on the streets. They will stretch past cancer and COVID and callousness of heart. It's time for you to stop. I've not found one place where Satan or cancer could limit the reach of his healing, his blood, or his resurrection power. Your anchor this morning, if you have him, to everyone that testified, to everyone that rejoiced and worshiped on this platform and in that congregation, your anchor is strong if your anchor is in the Lord of hosts, for his name is mighty and he's worthy to be praised. One more time, make your hands an instrument of praise and bless him. I can't play the keys. I can't play the drums. You can play your hands. Come on, let everything that has breath rejoice and magnify you. Yeah. But too many times, we have dropped anchor in the wrong places. For some people, they dropped anchor in the 1970s, and they just chose to never leave. Their favorite movie is Back to the Future. Dropped anchor in mixed up places. For some, it's the 90s. Mixed up minds. Our anchors have a way of attaching themselves to sacred cows. And we are 563 feet from where we are supposed to be. We are 563 feet off center. Jesus said, we are in Jericho among thieves. This man is stripped and robbed and wounded. Pastor, I'm glad you finally got to your text. Okay. They left him, the word says, half dead. A city of 12,000 priests, and none of them can seem to find center, especially this one in the word. I did not know they were going to sing that song. But I want you to understand that this man is not dead. He's half dead. And it's not over till God says it's over. Sinner says, I'm half dead. But I'm still half alive. And if I'm half alive, that means I still have hope. And if I have hope, Hebrews said, that hope is the one who goes behind the veil. I'm telling you, this word is, he is and was in the old covenant. He is and still is in the new covenant. He's still working in lives today. He's tearing down the veil and eliminating the distance if we will let him. Sometimes we don't want the distance eliminated unless it's eliminated our way. But he is our high priest. He tears down the veil. Jesus eliminates the distance. And now the word says that we can boldly approach him before the throne of glory. I came to tell you that when he goes behind the veil, he's coming out with something whole. If you'll let Jesus touch your life, you may have walked through those doors halfway today, half dead, half hurting, half sick, but God said, if you'll let me touch you, I'm going behind the veil at this very moment, in this very hour, in Summerton, Alabama, and if I can take you with me, I'll bring you out whole. Hey, man. He's never done anything halfway in his life. At Calvary, he was fully dead. But after Calvary, he is fully alive. Turn to your neighbor and just tell them, God's here to help you. Some things need to be whole again. Some things need to be whole again. God, I'll make it whole if you'll let me do it my way. God, I'll make it whole. I'll make it work. I'll make it healthy if you let me do it my way. But verse 31 tells us that by chance there came a certain priest that way. You still with me this morning? If you keep doing this thing by chance, just like that priest, you'll always end up on the other side of the street. If you keep doing this by chance, you'll always make your way around the heart and the center of what the need really is. If by chance I make it on Sunday morning, if by chance I can find time for God this week, if by chance I can work him into my busy schedule, into my feelings, into my routine, as long as you keep doing this thing by chance, just like that priest, you will always end up 563 feet off center. I don't care if you have Reverend in front of your name or not. God said to tell you, it's time for you to stop somebody. I felt before she sang that song, somebody, I felt like this was a someone Sunday. One person. God said to tell you, if it's time for you to stop doing this thing by chance, by fear, by tradition, or anything else that has become your sacred cow. God said, if I can get you behind the veil, I will get you across the street. And the reason that many of us cannot cross over, we cannot step into a new dimension, a new era, a new time, a new need, and meet the needs of God's people here where they are right now, is because it's been a heck of a long time since you've been behind the veil. Kelly will tell me when I get home, you said heck. You miss. Hey. Some think they're already there. But when was the last time you went behind the veil to the sacred place of prayer? When God said, I'll get you to the right person at the right time, you'll win that person to the Lord. You will win them to the church. And in the next year, you will help them put their life back together again. God said, I've called you to be a summit. I've called you to be a city set on a hill for that man or that woman, that boy or that girl that is half dead. God said, I'll get you to the right side of the street. I'll get you to the need on the correct side of my street if I can get you to stop dropping anchor in all the wrong places. Right. We don't even realize it. We just keep talking about the same old stuff and talking about the stuff. I hadn't dropped any anchors, Pastor. Oh, yeah. You dropped it in about 300 or 400 feet of water. And you've been anchored there and lost there. And God said, I'm trying to get you to stop dropping anchors in the wrong place. Until you stop living for God by chance. Pastor, you've taken a rabbit trail. Listen, I want to tell you this morning, the devil, Wayne, doesn't do anything by chance. Clarissa, the word of God said he came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And our problem is we get so egotistical in the Lord that many times we think, hey, that's not me. He's not talking to me. God's not dealing with me. I'm perfectly on center. Everything's okay. And God said, you don't even understand we're this far apart. But it's time for you to stop. Oh, it just happened. Listen, nothing just happened. There's a plan. There's a promotion. There's an agenda. But Jesus said, I've got some plans of my own. As a matter of fact, he said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He doesn't want somebody lost in chaos. He doesn't want somebody lost this far from grace and mercy and this far from the will and the presence of a divine God. No, no, no. He's called us to life and life more abundantly. If you've ever had it in him, lift your hands and shout out a praise unto the living King of kings and Lord of lords. Hey, listen, I want to tell you, we're intentional here. We're intentional every Tuesday night. Whether you're here or not, whether you cross the street or not, I'm not condemning. I'm not trying to be mean or harsh or judgmental. I'm just telling you, every Tuesday night, we have men and women in this house that they reach across the street. They reach into the heart of this community and they minister. And I know we're wrapped up in the grandiose and we're wrapped up in what's popular and what's easy. But sometimes we just need to step across the street. We feed this community at least once a month. But Pam Ballinger, she's down there again and again and again, day in and day out, helping meet the needs of our community. We are reaching across. Aren't you thankful for a church that has a burden to go above and beyond the norm and to do something? Tell the devil right here, right now, just speak with authority. I'm not taking this anymore. My marriage is not taking this. You're not taking my place. You're not taking my children. Come on, someone needs to say that out loud. You're not taking my children. You're not taking my job, my reputation, my mind. I'm not dropping anchor in the wrong places anymore. I'm done in Jesus' name. I may have been half dead, but today I am coming out fully alive because I have authority and power in the name that is above every name. Stay with me. I believe that God has a lesson for us this morning. If you want to run the aisle, that's fine. You may not feel like that today, but I believe God's saying something to us. Verse 32 said, likewise, a Levite also passed by on the other side. Important people, men and women of renown and integrity, doing wrong things at the wrong time. Respected Levites doing wrong things for the wrong reasons. I believe that God is saying to us very simply today, it's time for you to stop doing it just because somebody else did it. If it's your wife and it's wrong, it's wrong. If it's your mama or dad and it's wrong, it's wrong. If it's your mayor or your pastor and it's wrong, it's wrong. If it's your husband that won't get out of bed on Sunday morning, you had better get out of that bed and get yourself to the house and the place of faith. If your pastor won't give water to the thirsty, you'd better get a water bottle in your hand and make sure that you're being obedient to the word of the living God. Likewise, we'll get you in trouble that you don't want to be in. Actually, verse 32 said he was at the place. How in God's name can we keep looking at a man or a woman that's half dead and justify it and just step across the street? How can we keep turning our head the other way and shifting our eyes out of focus? It's because I'm too busy doing likewise, just going with the flow. Somebody in this house, you're at that place. And God will not keep dealing with you as long as you keep playing with his call, playing with his mercy, playing with his place. Likewise, we'll never lessen one foot off the distance of the need and the hurt of a dying world. Part of me wants to have you stand. Don't do it because I not felt released yet. The Levite left and the man is still half dead. He's still wounded. Look, we justify things, man. We justify ourselves out of a guilt trip. We justify ourselves out of wrong and even sinful behavior just to keep from getting to the need. And dealing with things. Yeah, some things are confrontational. Some things are not fun. Some things are not easy. But if your name, listen, the Levite had a name, but his name would not connect him to the need. If your name can't connect you to the culture is no less half dead than you are. If your name can't pour in oil and your name can't pour in the wine, a man is still dying on the other side of the street. Being a turner never got me to the other side. I'm not naive. My dad, I think his reputation, my mom, have opened doors for me. I would be foolish not to understand that. But everywhere I've been, I had to stand on my own. I still had to be ready when I stepped into a pulpit. I still had to lay hands on the sick and believe they would recover. I still had to share the message of salvation and sanctification and Holy Spirit infilling. And we have to be responsible. Our name will not get us anywhere. Hey, listen. Langley will not get you to the other side of the street. Muncher, Croswell will not get you to the other side. But being a Summit Point will. Being a city on a hill will. The word of the Lord is this. Don't you ever walk away again when you have the power to make a difference in a broken life. And when broken men and women could not connect to a broken temple, neither one of these men could connect to, could not connect to a powerless, passive priesthood, could not connect to a calculating and corrupt government. They heard about a name, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Now you can stand with me. David Gray, I have found out that there's absolutely nothing that will keep him from crossing to where I am. Ken, nothing will keep him at a distance if I will simply call on his name. I'll just trust him. If I'll cry out, he begins to eliminate that distance and pull me close. Maybe you're in the balcony today. Maybe you're watching online, maybe. Pippa, I believe that God can touch you. Yes. Today, you're not beyond his reach. Verse 33 said, the Samaritan, God identifies him as an enemy of Israel. The word said, he went where he was. Oh, no, no, no. If you want my help, you come. I'm here. You know who I am. If you want my help, the word said, he went, Lonnie, to where he was. And he poured in oil and he poured in wine. I found out, Miss Sarah, that some people pour a lot of things in. It's just not oil and it's not healing. And he bound up his wounds and he took care of him. I felt like God spoke this to me. He said, you tell someone in this house that God's about to send your enemy to you. And that enemy will pour in oil and that enemy will pour in wine. You've been thinking about going to them. And God said, it's not out of arrogance, it's not out of pride. Don't go. God said, I'm about to send them to you. And I'll heal you. I'll heal your heart. I'll heal that enmity. Stay focused. And if you'll let me, I'll get you out of the temple and I'll get you into the street. I'll focus you once again on real priorities in my kingdom. And the question this morning is, can you go if you're the only one who goes? If religion and religiosity is the same thing, and if no one else goes, am I bold enough? Am I brave enough? to step across the street that no one else will cross and make a difference in a broken life and a broken heart. This altar is open. I'm going to pray. I want them to lead us in one more time. Father, I love you today. Should there be one in this house, your home, the sacred space called sanctuary. 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 Peace and help and hope and love. I would say I've been at such a distance from God. I have fell so far from Him. Oh, God, help us. God, pull me back to you. Pull me back to you. God, I pray that now that at one individual, two, three, help. God, that they would step from where they are and they would help eliminate their own distance and just make their way to this altar. God, your will be done. This is the opportunity, the hour, the moment to cut that distance between you and God. His roots will reach deep. He's reaching for you today. Sing, Josh.
To draw me close to you.
Yeah. I feel Him. He's speaking.
Let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm friend.
Yeah.
You were my desire.
Heck. Yeah, yeah. Can I have some couples? Can I have some couples come? Sure.
Nothing else can take the place to feel the warmth of your grace. Help me find a way to bring me back to you.
Get into God. I pray today. That one man, that one woman, that maybe you've called after all these years, after all this time, you've called that God, the running would stop, and that God, they would run to you and not from you. This morning you would be with hearts alive. I believe your anointing is here. I believe that wooing power, that drawing power, the Holy Spirit is with us. God, do what the song says. Draw us close to you. Draw us in and past all the hurts and all the lies and all the disappointment. Yeah. Mighty God, mighty God. He's here. Just take the hand of that one near you. And last Sunday in the foyer after service, we had two or three or four young couples with us, with children, with kids, maybe their first or second time. They said, we just wanted to meet you. We felt something. We feel the power and the presence of God in this place. And I want you to know God will do the work if we'll let him. But we have to eliminate every foot of distance and open our hearts and our arms to those that need him the most. Amen. As they sing again, would you lift your hands and worship him one more time today? Yeah. Samaritan picked him up. You know the story well. Carried him to an inn. And he spoke to the innkeeper and he said, listen, he paid for his room, paid for his board, and he said, I will return. And he said, if his stay, his renewal to health, his healing, if it cost anything more, I'll pay it. I'll pay to be the help. I'll pay to meet the need. I'll pay to make sure that he's restored. How many of you know there are people in life, people you're close to, they end up costing you way more than you ever thought you'd have to pay? Some of you paid a dear price through the years. Incredible anointing, incredible talent, power, and opportunity. I've been in this blessed church my entire life. I tell you, there's been some hurt and some pain along the way. Can anybody say amen? Amen. But Eunice, God has been faithful. There's never been a dollar or a dime that I paid, not a cost ever tied to anything I've ever had to do that's not been. Worth it all. He is worth it all. Amen. Oh, he's good. He's good. He paid more than I was ever worth. He's been faithful. Oh God, if you're still speaking, God, that we would hear what heart, what mind, what soul. Hey. He loves you. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you.